Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs at Tab. Helps me out with your comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We're here till 11. Three lines wide open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. Let's go to Rich in Naugatuck. What's going on, Rich?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy morning. Saturday.
Yeah, you too.
Question for you. Taking an opportunity to relocate within a state here and opportunity to maybe cut the cable TV cord. So I'm looking for some advice, suggestions to streamline it.
Well, all you need at your new location. How many people are in your home? I should ask that first.
Just me, two.
Okay, so you'll be fine with 50 to 60 megabits of bandwidth. Okay,
right.
If you get 100, that's going to be their default. That's fine. That's all you need: internet, cable, cable internet, or broadband internet wherever you're going at around that 100 megabit speed. Then it's just a matter of choosing your poison, whether it's YouTube TV, Hulu, Disney Plus, you name them. There's so many out there.
Right, and that's, I guess, kind of where the crux of my question comes in at, is that can you give me a short caption of advantages, disadvantages for those out there?
So there are all sorts of different pricing models. The one I landed on was YouTube TV, and it's 70 channels, way more sports than I even care to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be very all-encompassing. It's a good quality, and I've had good luck with it. It's $50
local channels?
For 70 channels. Of local, of course. All your local channels, all the channels you'd ever want are all there for you. You can cancel anytime, so you're not locked into any contracts. Sling, I guess, has other packages you could choose based on the amount of channels you think you're going to want. You can, if you look at each provider, they'll tell you what they're going to offer. And you can choose, hey, I like watching National Geographic, so you pick that package. So I would just tell you to do a little research and compare the different streaming services to your preferences. And, obviously if you have Amazon Prime, which is $100 a year, then you've got all the Amazon that you could ever want as far as their
right.
ability to rent movies and some of their shows. If you got Netflix, so that's $13 roughly.
But I will need a streaming type device such as a Roku or a Fire Stick or such, correct?
Correct. And I'd have you look at the NVIDIA Shield as well.
I never heard of that one.
Yeah, NVIDIA is the biggest name in video when it comes to our computers these days. Right. And they've come up with their own streaming box. And it's a good quality, powerful box. And keep it in mind, it's an Android TV-based operating system. And I've chose it because, again, it's NVIDIA. I want my video, the thing I'm watching, to be put out by a company that knows video. And their latest one will do 4K upscaling. So you could download and watch the product at 1080p and get a 4K upscale. So you're not using the data that a 4K video would take up versus a 1080p video.
Okay.
But you still get the same quality if you're going to go to that. So, a couple $100 for that box, one-time cost. I don't hold me to the price off the top of my head, but you know, you buy those streamers for each of your TVs, depending on where you're going to be watching. You can go with your smart TV and use the apps on the smart TV, or you can just use a box. And I found that keeping my smart TV out of the equation is easier than dealing with the box, because the box can go with you. You can take it on vacation. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, we don't have a smart TV with it, so essentially you've got this NVIDIA. I apologize.
It's okay.
And then the Roku, of course, a Fire Stick from Amazon. What any others?
Apple TV is another alternative.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, okay. It's funny. TiVo. I mean, I had TiVo boxes, and I was happy with them for years. They just wouldn't let you load apps, so I punted all my TiVo. I mean, I don't know how short-sighted that company was, but they really blew it, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, so we've got four, NVIDIA, Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple, essentially, correct?
Yep, you can also use a Chromecast if you want to cast it from your phone, but that gets a little funky.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother with that. Okay.
All right.
Terrific.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
NVIDIA Shield TV.
Yeah.
The basic one is $149.99, and the Shield TV Pro is $199.99.
Yeah, so $200.
And I saw it on Best Buy or whatever, the same prices. I'm at the NVIDIA site.
Yeah. All right, Rich.
Okay, thanks very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. I want to bring up something, too, that I found just crazy. So Tesla, right? Tesla, of course, people are buying used Teslas, right? And this poor guy, feel bad for him. Tesla, here's the headline, remotely disables autopilot on used Model S after it was sold, of course, with that feature. So this poor guy goes and buys the car, and the company now claims the owner of the car, who purchased it from a third-party dealer, a dealer who bought it from an auction held by Tesla itself, did not pay for the feature. So somehow autopilot got flipped on this Model S, right? It's an $8,000 add-on. The way Tesla works, it's crippleware, right? So your car has all the abilities of a fully functioning Tesla, but what they do is they cripple it until you pay. So if you want the added battery life, you got to pay for that. They flip that on. Even though the battery is in the car, they'll cripple it until you pay. So same thing with autopilot. So this car came with autopilot from the Tesla auction. But then what happened was later on, Tesla does an audit. And they go look at the car and say, hey, this car never had somebody purchase autopilot. You know what we're going to do? Flip it off. And they turned it off remotely. That should not be a possibility. You should have some sort of customer intervention that says, yes, Tesla, I allow you to touch my vehicle. But no, these companies are able to, like even the fires in California, they were able to uncripple the batteries of Teslas because, of course, people had to get out of California on those fires, and they didn't want them stuck on the road with the battery running out of juice. Of course, the battery had the juice in it, but it was crippled. They flipped the battery so it could go further. You know, now that battery could still be flipped, and now they sell the car, and then months later, Tesla says, hey, wait a minute, these guys never bought that extra battery time, I'm going to turn it off. That shouldn't happen. So there's got to be some laws out here, guys, so that you can at least, when you purchase something, expect it to be what it is. And you should be the one to say, geez, Tesla has this update that might improve my range or might improve my this or that, that you should accept as a user rather than having them mandate it. Because what happens when they make a mistake? How many times have
that doesn't happen.
How many times have you heard antivirus programs that thought Windows itself was the virus, and all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of systems stop working because the antivirus attacks the operating system. They made a mistake. This kind of stuff happens all the time. We as consumers have to be protected from these companies. You know, they can say, hey, you have an update. We would like to apply it. Would you allow us to? And then you can take action. But no, Tesla can just reach right into your car and make these changes. That doesn't seem right to me. We'll put the link up here from The Verge about this story. But
and then after you go and something doesn't work, what do? You take it in for repair. They charge you and tell you, hey, it's turned off.
Right.
Hey, you have to pay for that.
We had to let you know that that thing that wasn't purchased. So if you pay us $8,000 to get it back. I don't know. That doesn't sound like it's a good way to go to market, but that's what they're doing. I'll put a link up there for you guys so you can read the story yourself. But I just want to make sure I talked about it today. Let's go to Rich in the car. What's going on, Rich?
Good morning.
Morning.
I was talking with somebody recently who was telling me I should be using a password manager for my various passwords with whatever accounts I use, charge accounts, bank accounts, things like that. And the idea being that, you know, it's another step toward having someone grab a hold of a password and just wreak havoc on your accounts. And I usually use Firefox as a browser.
Oh, boy. Yep.
And I noticed that Firefox has what they call, I think it's called Firefox Account Manager, that they offer. And I'm just thinking, I said, you know, if I use Firefox for it, then what happens if Firefox has a problem that gets breached, then do they get my passwords anyways?
They do. You're exactly right to be concerned. So it depends on what problem you're trying to solve. A password manager is necessary if you've got so many passwords and you're constantly logging into so many different things that you can't remember the passwords and you need the manager to manage it for you. My password manager is an index card system sitting on my desk that nobody can see. Right? That's my password manager. Nobody can hack it. You need to break into my house to get my passwords. And if that's similar.
Yeah. I keep all my passwords on an Excel file that I encrypt. Yeah.
Okay. So at least you have an encrypted file, and there it is safe. So it all comes down to what you want to do with your password manager. If this person is recommending it for additional security, I don't know that that is exactly what you get with it. If you're constantly finding you're not where your Excel file is, so you can't remember a password, then maybe a password manager makes sense. But in my life, this little index card system has been beautiful.
I use a Rolodex.
Yeah. And the passwords are complicated. Then, of course, you have two-factor authentication on top of that. And now it's very difficult to break into accounts. If you do it, there's plenty of examples of password managers being
hacked.
I guess that's the word.
compromised.
Compromised, yeah. And so I'm not so sure I would do that. You know? That's just my approach.
Like I said, I was worried, you know, think about the fact that, well, now you're giving all your information to a third party.
Right.
So what happens when the third party gets violated?
Exactly. And that's a very valid thought I would have.
And it happens.
Yeah. The problem is
I'm sure it happens.
I bet you it was a younger folk that probably recommended this to you, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And you probably could guess some of their passwords because they put all the information on Facebook. So I know he doesn't. Okay. Well, they fill out those questionnaires saying, what was your first car? Or, where did you go to school? Or what's your first band? Yeah. What's your first concert? All those are security questions. So, I mean, these guys don't always think it all the way through. And again, you can say, hey, I'm a knuckle-dragging troglodyte for putting it on a index card, but you know what? You can't hack that, period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about my password manager getting hacked. I don't have to worry about the interface between the password manager not working, which also happens. If your password manager goes down, it does, then you can't get into all your stuff because you've been completely dependent on this password manager. It happened recently with LastPass. They were down. So imagine if you had to get into your passwords and you couldn't because that service was down. Now you're locked out of everything. You're locked out of paradise. thanks to LastPass.
Right. So another good thing to do, I recommend then, is use different passwords for different financial accounts.
Oh, you better be doing that.
Yeah.
If you use the same one, any one of those institutions gets impacted, and the bad guy says, Rich uses, Scrooge McDuck as a password, you're going to go lose your money in other places pretty quickly as they log into those locations. They have nothing but time, and you have, if you've used the same password everywhere, you kind of deserve to be hacked.
Okay. dollars. Yeah, well, I don't, but I can understand the logic. Okay.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that for those that are out there.
If I could, one other quick question.
Yeah.
Since I got I'm now using a Windows 10 system, and I'm using the, Office 365? Is there a way to buy Office, the old-fashioned way, on a CD-ROM, and it's yours?
Of course. They don't want to market it really hard, but yeah, we sell it all the time to our customers who don't want to rent it forever.
Not on a CD-ROM, but you get a key and you download
it. It's a download. We can put a link to how you buy it. It's not a big deal. Buy it once. Why rent it?
Right, but then they'll do the updates, I presume.
Yep. Right? Yep. Oh, yeah, they'll still support it. Eventually, they're going to try to get everybody to rent everything forever, but for now, you can still, of course, buy the separate software, pay for it once. Most people do not want to keep updating their software every 5 minutes. It's Word, for crying out loud. It's Excel. You know, how many updates do you really need to do a Word document? Most people, most normal people, are using the same version of Windows Office for, 5, 6, 7 years. The only time they're forced to change is when Microsoft says no more updates for you, or when your third-party ERP system can not talk to your Outlook anymore because they're basing it off the last two versions and you're three versions behind. So that's when the forced upgrade occurs. But being up to date.
I had been using Office 2010. I had a disk board. I think it was licensed for three computers.
Okay.
And, now it's like, okay, is this all gone bye-bye? I hate to just have to keep writing something.
Yeah, you can buy Office 2019 is the current version.
You put a link up there. Appreciate it.
We'll do that for you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great show.
Thanks. You're welcome. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break and get back to more of your calls. We have three lines open for you, Bob and Avon. Hang on. Feel free to get online, though, if you'd like to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab here at 11 o'clock. Let's get right to your calls. Three lines open for you. If you're listening on the stream anywhere in the country, 800-966-WTIC. It's toll-free. And I just love to hear management scream at us when the toll-free calls come in and we're paying for the long distance, right? Right, Mike? Let's go to Bob in Avon next. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Bob Surya. How are you?
Hey, good.
Hey, I wanted to find out. I guess we're getting forced over to change from my Windows 7 Pro to Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like my QuickBooks 2010, which works great.
Yep.
Is not really compatible, or appears not to be compatible with Windows 10.
You are correct, sir.
So I'm totally.
You're out of luck.
No kind of .NET framework stuff.
No.
Nope. That kind of stuff. No,
nope, you can't get around it. Bob actually has some information on that, right, Bob?
Yeah, it's because it works with Flash, and Windows 10 doesn't support Flash, so QuickBooks will only work with. Windows 10 will only work with QuickBooks 2015 or newer. I have an article here I'm trying to copy.
A decade's too far back, Bob.
I know. I'm cheap. What can I say?
It still does the math, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to have to call the best, to get that kind of information, which is a little more out of my realm, stuff like that.
That's
so
cool. Well, we appreciate it. But, yeah, unfortunately, you had to upgrade.
Okay. I figured I'd just give a quick call and say hello, and I appreciate your advice.
Yeah, real quick while I got you. 8K TVs, are you selling them like hotcakes?
Not yet. They will be. This year is going to be the big push, starting in March, April, May. The TV lineups from all the manufacturers are going to start changing.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to do basically is with a higher dot pitch like 8K, just give you a bigger TV in a smaller room. For more of the home theater experience and stuff like that. I usually wait for the first run to go by because the price is too high and there's really not that much of an advantage.
Right, but if you're thinking 8K, like I've got 4K and I can't really tell a difference between 1080p and 4K personally. You almost would need two TVs side by side to know the difference as far as I'm concerned. But if you go to 8K, what's the minimum size TV you should even bother with if you're going to go 8K?
I would say bare minimum would be 65, but they're really more looking in the 75, 85, 82 range.
Who's got that kind of wall space?
Believe it or not, yeah, you can fit them in certain rooms.
So All right.
We do actually a lot of 85-inch TVs and stuff. See, the main issue where everyone gets fooled is when you go into, say, either Costco or Best Buy or any of the big stores, they're showing streaming 4K video, which looks phenomenal. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Then you put cable on, even though you may have a 4K cable box, you're watching highly compressed 1080 material,
right?
So it doesn't have the same pop. So people sometimes get disappointed.
Gotcha.
That kind of thing.
So that's why people are cutting the cable too.
Yeah,
they're cutting the cable going over to streaming services.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we're finding we were originally trying to figure out between Hulu Live and YouTube TV, but it looks like YouTube TV for this area seems to be more popular. And, for the, it was roughly $50 a month.
Yep.
And then if you back that up, if you live in West Hartford, like you were saying earlier with that other deal, that's phenomenal.
Go NetSpeed is just such a great thing. I wish we could see it in Southampton and Cheshire and everywhere.
Any rumors on it spreading out into other areas in the farm?
Yeah, they're happy to bring it to you as long as enough people in your town are going to go ahead and jump to it. So you got to tell GoNetSpeed you're interested, and then they'll come. It's not cheap to build out that infrastructure.
Oh, I know. So. I mean, many years ago when Mirage Resorts was trying to do the casinos in Hartford on Farmington Avenue down by the Hartford Insurance, they wanted $250,000 to bring cable into the building for just one tenant.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so we elected to do eight antennas up on the roof.
There it is, Bob. We got to go. We got a hard break coming. Okay. But nice chatting with you.
Thanks. Same here.
Yeah, all right. Good luck with your... Okay. Bob's got an upgrade to do. Good luck with that, Bob. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We got Nick and Jeff on the line from South Carolina. Uh-oh, he's probably got a joke for me again. I'm going to miss. Two lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. Back. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. We have two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And let's get right to your calls here on Computer Talk. We're going to go to, like I said, Jeff in South Carolina, who always gets a joke in there, and I never know what's coming. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. I was telling my wife I missed the joke last time you called in completely.
Oh, yeah. Well, that reminds me of my wife when she was cooking this ham. She cut the end of the ham off, put it in the oven, and then I said, why you do that? She said, well, my mother did it. So I asked the mother the same thing. I said, why you cut the end of the ham off and put it in the oven? She said, well, my mother did it. So then we asked her mother. She said, why you cut the end of the ham off? She said, well, it wouldn't fit.
So it's a ham joke.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, so what do you got for your question? You talk about Microsoft certification is what your question was?
Yeah, I already have an A-plus certification, but it's rather old, but it's been grandfathered in.
Yep.
But when someone, I put in for a job or somebody, I said, oh, this thing is pretty old, you know, what have you done to keep abreast of the new changes that come out in the IT field?
Yeah.
And I want to get back in there, and I wanted to get a suggestion perhaps from you guys. I know.
Yeah, so... It's kind of a timely call because at TAB, we're actually hiring, and we've been interviewing a lot of folks from a lot of big companies and even folks that are coming from academia to join us. And sadly, they don't have any skill sets when it comes to networking and the nuts and bolts of how a network goes together to the point where we can hire them. They're working for big companies, big insurance companies, big education. They're even quote unquote teaching networking and still don't really know networking. So I would tell you that for companies like us at TAB, where we need people who kind of know, how the sausage is made, literally, you need to know how to configure routers, how to configure switches, how to understand network packets, DHCP.
VLANs.
VLANing. That's kind of the nuts and bolts as to how a network goes together. So I would tell you to brush up on your skills there. And then as far as Microsoft certifications, you'd want to start with the obvious one being Windows 10, right? You want to get your test under there for Windows 10. And then if you think you're going to want to work with servers, then you'd work with Server 2019 as well. So we can put a link up here for some of the certification programs that Microsoft has that we can have you look at. But a lot of times you can do it remotely. You can do it at your own pace, self-study, and then you go take a test. And you take the test in a testing center down there that I'm sure they have that you could then get your certification. But half the battle, Jeff, is just understanding networking. And believe it or not, that skill set's pretty rare, it seems. Up here in Connecticut, it's a lot rarer than we thought it would be. And these folks that we're interviewing, some of them have decades of experience in IT, quote-unquote, but they don't understand how the network works.
Oh, okay. I just think depending on how diverse you were, something that you could perhaps learn on your own. Because I took a networking class, but I had so much going on in my house, I couldn't concentrate, so I had to just basically, drop the course. And it's kind of expensive, so.
Right.
And that was another thing that I was looking at.
I think it would be better to try, instead of doing it at home, the networking courses you may want to try to do at a learning center of some kind that might be down there.
Right.
I would look at technical colleges or community colleges. They may offer courses in networking, but you really need to understand the basics of networking. Getting the certification on the operating system should be pretty easy.
So some of the manufacturers have virtual labs that you can go through, but if you go in at least one class and see what they physically look like and how they plug in, then that would get you that part, and then you might understand the virtual labs better.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right,
Jeff.
Oh, yeah, one more thing before you go. Go Gun Club.
I couldn't hear you, Jeff. You're kind of breaking up. Are you on a cell phone there?
I said Go Gun Club.
Still can't make that out.
The Gamecocks, the women
Gamecocks.
Oh, the Gamecocks. Are we playing you guys?
Yeah, I already played this.
I think I can't. Your phone is breaking up, Jeff.
The women. You heard me, the women.
The women.
Basketball team.
All right, well, good luck to you. But UConn, if they're playing you, you're going to be in trouble.
No, they were in trouble. They lost already.
You're kidding.
Yeah, that was a game they lost last week.
What happened? I didn't know that, Jeff. Obviously, I'm not following it that closely. But generally, they win every game. So, hey, good for you guys.
Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Yeah.
They played better on that day.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah.
Next thing, next time you call on a landline. Your phone's kind of trouble to hear, okay?
I'm heading to my DAV meeting. This is my American Veterans meeting this morning. So.
All right, you go have fun. Talk to you soon, Jeff.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, his phone goes in and out as far as clarity. That might be why I can't tell all the jokes. all right, let's go on to Nick in Simsbury next. Hey, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Did you know the UConn women lost to the Gamecocks?
Yeah, didn't you?
I guess I didn't know.
That was big news last
week. I guess
so. Gino wasn't happy.
Oh, I do remember that interview. He was upset.
Yes.
Yeah, they were asking what they did wrong, and all they did was just lose to a better team is what he said, which did make sense. I remember now. Sorry. So, Nick, what do you got going on?
Well, I went away on vacation a couple of weeks ago and turned my computer off. When I came back, Office wouldn't start up properly.
Okay.
I was getting execution errors, getting a message that there was a system file, a DLL file that wasn't present. And I'm just sort of trying to figure out why that would have happened.
Well, why? We don't really worry about the why, Nick, when it comes to computers. It's not worth figuring out the why. If you had to figure out the why, you'd go cuckoo. We want to figure out how to fix it. So,
well, it's telling me that I should reinstall the program.
Yep.
I mean, I bought this. I got an HP Pavilion, laptop here. And, I came from the store with, Windows 10 and Office and all that stuff pre-installed. And so, I mean, telling me to reinstall the program, I guess do I have to go out to Microsoft and
No, I wouldn't. I don't recommend that you reinstall it. What you want to do is open your control panel, go to Programs and Features, click on your Microsoft Office suite, and then click on Change. And under that, it'll offer you the ability to do an online repair. And that's what you want to run. And what that'll do is it'll look at your files and make sure that they're all up to date and that they're okay and they're not corrupt, and it'll fix it. And then after that, it'll usually ask you to reboot, and you'll reboot, and it should be fine.
Okay, just again, what was the sequence there?
So you're going to go and open your control panel, so you can hit the little flag, the little square flag. Just type in control, and control panel will come up. Open the control panel, go to Programs and Features, and under Programs and Features, you're going to scroll down to your Microsoft Office and highlight that, and then up near the top, it's going to say Change. You don't want to uninstall it, okay? Don't choose Uninstall. Choose Change or Modify, and then a little window will come up, and it'll offer you the ability to do an online repair.
All right.
And again, I was trying to be facetious on that why, but the problem is you're running a device that is using zeros and ones on magnetic media that is prone to failure, right? So what happened was something on the hard drive got corrupted, or a DLL got damaged when something else got installed. I know you said the machine was turned off, but something before you turned it off could have updated. Or again, there's just a bad spot on your hard drive where this program happens to sit and needs to be cleaned, needs to be refreshed. So it's just the nature of this.
My short-term solution was just to go out and get an open-source program called LibreOffice and, you know, download that and sort of work around it with that. But,
sure.
But, you know, every time I get an Excel file or, you know, a Word file or whatever, it won't open without me going through that step. So.
Yeah, no, and this, what Bob suggested, should take care of it for you, sir.
Okay. Very good.
All right, Nick.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. It is frustrating, though. If you ask why, we would have a long time to try to figure out.
A lot of reasons why.
Too many reasons. We're going to step out for a quick break, right? We've got Rick and Nick on the line. Two lines open for you. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock, and let's get right to your calls. You were nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go right to Nick in Enfield next. Hey, Nick, you there?
Yes.
What's up, sir?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Recently when I was logged into my email in Gmail,
mm-hmm.
I got a message that there might be, a breach or something, where somebody else in Meriden was trying to use my email address.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that's like a phishing scam, or could that be legitimate message from Gmail?
It could be both. It could be a phishing scam or legitimate, right? So what you have to do is assume it's legitimate.
Yeah.
Log into Gmail, not from a link in that message, right? Don't ever use the message that came to you. Go log into Gmail. Change your password, make it very difficult, and then turn on two-factor authentication.
Okay.
Now, even if they're trying to log on in Meriden, and they won't be able to because they don't have your phone.
Okay. Okay, I did change my password actually twice since then.
Okay. If somebody could still be trying to hack into your mailbox, you know, who knows? Maybe you got somebody who's like, hey, I want to see if I can get in the mix.
But if you're traveling around, you could be getting different IP addresses, and it's warning you that something's happening from one location versus another location.
Yeah, it could be you. It could be Gmail warning you about you. That could be true, too.
Okay. I thought of that, but I wasn't in that area.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to access email. The other thing is, sometimes if I'm trying to stream something, you know, YouTube, how-to, whatever,
mm-hmm.
After about 10 to 15 minutes, everything slows down.
Okay. What are you using for internet?
I'm using Frontier.
Okay. So your bandwidth is pretty slow.
It could be.
Do you need to get that, Nick?
No, I don't. I'm going to move so you don't hear it. I'm sorry.
If you do a speed test on your Frontier service and you find it to be, you know, 3, 4, or 5 megabits, that's just too slow. You're going to have that problem. You know, those that bandwidth is not that good.
I'm wondering if there's something with the working part of the computer that may be slowing down because it's an older machine.
I doubt it. I would blame your bandwidth first. So do a speed do a speed test and see what you're getting for speed. If your speed is 25 megabits or better, then you're right. It's something wrong with your computer. If it's like 20, you know, 3 or 20 or even 10 megabits or lower, which is I suspect what you have, it's your internet.
Okay. So I'll do a speed test.
Yeah.
And I thought of a third question while I was waiting. Can I do that?
Real quick.
I'm looking at getting a device strictly for banking, and I've been looking at tablets, Surface, a laptop, and a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any recommendations for a minimum?
Yep.
Yes?
I would lean toward a Chromebook because everything's web-based, right? Everything you're going to be doing on your banking and everything is web-based. You don't need an operating system for that. You just need a browser-based device, and that's what a Chromebook is. So I would lean toward a Chromebook. Only use it for those things. Do not, you know, surf with it. Do not do anything else with it.
Okay.
And I would do a cheap Chromebook for that.
So they have things like Pentium 3, 5, 7.
Right.
Would the 3 work?
It's pretty low end. It's just a browser, though. So maybe I would play with it a little bit at the store. I don't have a Chromebook myself because I avoid any online at all if I can. I just don't like it. But I would try it out before. A Pentium processor is something we started with 25 years ago. It's not a lot of power there.
I wouldn't personally. I don't recommend anything lower than an i5. I just find it too frustrating to work with.
Yeah,
it's just me. The others will work if you're just doing browsing and email, but basically anything beyond that, you're gonna spend a lot of time just sitting and waiting and twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah. All right, Nick.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. All right. Let's try to get to Rick in Wallingford next. He was nice enough to join us. What's going on, Rick?
Oh, hi. How you guys doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good. Let me just get into my car so I can get rid of all the background noise here as I'm running across the parking lot.
Okay.
I missed the tail end of something before.
Okay.
You guys were talking about the TV service that's available. You got like 70 stations or something like that?
Yeah, YouTube TV.
YouTube TV it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And you just hook your computer line coming in, your cable line, I mean, your internet service up to it? Or?
Yep. It's an app. So if you have a any kind of streaming device like a Roku or a Nvidia Shield or whatever, a smart TV, you load the YouTube TV app, and it has 70 channels. It's about $50 a month, and it's local channels. It's plenty of sports. It's all sorts of great stuff.
Okay, but it's just TV. It's not the internet, though, is it?
Correct. It's just the TV channels. You're paying for internet from somebody else, either your cable provider, or if you're lucky enough to be in. Well, you're in Wallingford, right? So, you got to convince the folks over there at the power company to do their own internet service.
Oh, it's we're stuck with Comcast, and it's just you know they keep on jacking prices up, and
I know,
this on demand thing all of a sudden. They slide these things in there. You get a bunch of free ones in a row. Then there's one you got to pay for. If you don't notice it, you're hitting you $2.99 to watch a TV show that you want to read.
Yeah, $300. It's a car payment. It's a luxury car payment to watch TV with these cable providers. So you would be able to cancel everything to do with your TV side of that equation, just pay for internet, and then bring on YouTube TV. And
what is the price to pay for just internet for somebody?
You'd have to ask them. But I would tell you, maybe $100 or $80 or $60. It seems to be whatever they want to charge you.
Yeah, I'll check this just if it makes, because it's just getting too costly and the things don't work right and you get blacked out and you miss this and it's too inconsistent.
I hear you. And you only and you don't need a lot of bandwidth. Don't let them sell you 300 megabits. You only need about 100.
Go net speed.
Yeah, yeah. Go net speed. Right. Yeah. Or again, Wallingford's got the lowest, cheapest power, right? Because you guys, you'll have your own power plant.
We do.
If you could convince the folks over there to bring up their own internet, man, you guys would be sitting pretty. Everyone would be flocking to Wallingford.
Sure.
All right.
And, well, lastly, too, we're working on the Windows. Windows, the Office 365 is that's what I've got on our home system.
Yeah.
You know, they gave it to you when you first got the computer. Then they keep on bugging you for these subscriptions.
Right.
What's that a reasonable price just to pay if you want to buy it outright? Just never. Subscribe
the home and business is like $300. You're going to pay for it once, and you'll have it for the next 7 years, right?
Right, right. And this versus I'm trying to hit you know, $100 every year or 2 years, and it's
They're going to try to rent it to you versus buying it outright. So check it out. We'll put a link up there for you. All right, Rick, we got to go.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thank you. All right, I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I know it's chilly out there, so you're all cuddled up with your computers. We do appreciate it. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com. That's our website, which also works. If you go to Facebook and like us on Facebook over at Tab Computer System, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy, it may get into your newsfeed. And for some reason, if you have time for Twitter, I have no idea how, if you follow us on Tab Computer Sys at Twitter, it'll get into your Twitter feed. I want to thank Matt and Mike for producing.
See you next week.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.